Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Well, hey, another weekend of boxing. Saw Mr. Lomachenko display his wares along with a couple of his Ukrainian buddies. We'll talk about a little bit more when my host comes on, Mr. Jabron Clemens. Jabron is Brooklyn-based, of course, and he's going to talk about some of the things that's happening up there in the garden and, tell us some of the things that he's been doing this weekend as far as boxing connection. We've also got a few fights on the agenda. We got the Stevenson for Far rematch set for June 3rd. We've got the Pacquiao fight set up for July 2nd. We also have Gamboa and Castellanos on May 5th. So we are definitely going to have some action here for the next 90 days or so, very easily. And then, of course, we'll have Cinco de Mayo with Canelo. So as far as boxing is concerned, we have a very full schedule. Speaking of a full schedule, PBC will have a few bouts also on the schedule, going over our the rest of April here, though. Let's see. We have some PBC fights left. We have some HBO fights left. As a matter of fact, there's a fight on tonight on PBC on Fox Sports. Most of us, I'm sure, have TV, we'll be expecting that probably right after the soccer game, right around 6:30. So if you want to turn, those of you that have Fox Sports, Fox Deportes, yes, we do have another PBC, and for the most part, we have some very good opponents. We had Mr. Alejandro Luna on the show a few weeks ago. If some of these gentlemen are not too banged up, we'll endeavor to have them on the show Tuesday. Next week. Let's see, starting, I think, April, that would be Friday, I believe. Friday, we have another Showtime array of bouts. Mr. Malik Hawkins, of course, this is Showtime After Dark. We have Haseem Rahman Jr. He's going to be making he's going to be fighting the heavy, in the heavyweight division, and here's Gibran. Let's see. Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great, JK. How about yourself?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Weather out here is finally cooperating. It's acting like it's California, damn it. And, you know, I'm very glad. So how's everything happening up there in your neck of the woods?
Up and down, you know. Yesterday it was breezy and freezing. Today it was nice and sunny, approaching 70. So, you know, the inconsistencies.
Well, we can't blame it on global warming because we know that's just a Chinese hoax. So I don't know, you know, I guess we'll just have to blame it on the weather, man, since we have nobody else to blame. But, Gibran, I was telling the audience perhaps you might have some news about what's happening in New York. We saw there was some up in Verona and whatnot. But tell us some of the rumors that are going around, because we know you have your ear to the ground up here in Brooklyn.
Well, right now it's kind of quiet. It'll probably heat up by the middle of the week. Because, you know, this weekend there was some fight. A couple of confrontations between different camps and some boxers over the weekend. So definitely by the middle of the week, the news will definitely heat up. But it's one fight that I am glad that finally got made that I've been asking for the last couple of years. And it seems like they finally got this guy to step up to the plate. And I'm talking about Mr. Superman Adonis Stevens doing a rematch with Fonfara. Seems like it's a sign and sealed and delivered. We shall see it in a couple of months. And what's your thoughts on that, JK?
Actually, I was just looking at that matchup, and I am glad to see Adonis step up, like you say, step up to the plate. I definitely think, as far as Adonis, well, both of them, I think this is one of those crossroads fights. I think the loser will kind of fall back into obscurity again. And the winner, you know, I mean, there'll be some good paydays for. But, you know, I do like the fact that the fight has been re-signed. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm just hoping, you know, usually in most cases, you know, unless they're the lighter weights, you know, usually the tactics change when you have a rematch. The other guy, you know, both guys know each other's weakness. One guy is able to, you know, make adjustments, and the other guy, you know, comes out fighting basically the same fight. So I would like to see which one makes the adaptations. Personally, I think it'll be Fonfara. I haven't seen Adonis with the ability to change. I think he relies on that power. I think you know, we can still see him coming straight ahead, unless Sugar is going to find him a way to box, I don't know, man. This could be a very telling fight for Mr. Adonis Stevens. What do you think? Hello?
Yeah, Father Time is undefeated, man. So Adonis is getting up there. So, and not only that, he hasn't been as active as Fumfara. You know, if you look at the last 2 years, Fumfara has been very active. Even coming off of defeat from Joe Smith, he bounced right back and got himself right back in action. So, you know, I think the momentum is kind of leaning towards Fumfara right now with his activity.
Most definitely. And don't you find it, you know, kind of unusual? I mean, I know everyone wants to, you know, really wants to see this Adonis fight. But don't you find it unusual that even though they have a fresh face, in that division with one Mr. Joe Smith? I mean, you know, here's a man, you know, he's walking around with a championship belt and still is working construction during the day. What do you think about that? I mean, you know, do you think that there's is it just that this weight class doesn't have the drawing power that some of the smaller weights have right now? When you're talking about, you know, Canelo and Pacquiao and those guys, do you think that you know, maybe Mr. Smith is you know, just being treated that way, like, you know, Mr. Smith, you know another John Doe?
What do you think? I just think it's the risk factor, high risk, low reward. You know, he's a you know, right now he's known as a dangerous puncher. So taking that chance in a grueling fight, when, you know, Adonis Stevens can pay somebody step aside money and get lighter fights, hey, you know. But in this situation, I have to find out the details, because he supposedly gave Alvarez, which is one of the champions in the division, step aside money. So now I have to see, where does Alvarez go from here? And will he be mandatory for the winner of the fight?
I know that, you know, this has been happening for many, many years. It's not like, you know, we just started, you know, having step aside money. But do you think that right now, in today's climate, you know, with so many, you know, experts and pundits, you know, talking about ducking and all this, do you think that you know, that step aside money is stopping us from seeing some of the better fights? You know, it just seems to me that the step aside money is watering down the sport right now. What do you think about that?
Most definitely, it definitely is, you know, because if having these guys wait 2-3 years when a guy's older, took in more damage, like, you're not getting prime product when you're getting them in there, when you're getting these guys for these big mega fights. You know, they wait for their opportunity for all their advantages to work in their favor. You know, a prime example, Floyd. You know, he waited until the guy got knocked out, vulnerable, and then said, okay, I'll fight him now. You know, business-wise, he was smart. He capitalized and made a lot of money. But if you want to talk about fighting the best when they're at their best, like, no, I don't give you kudos and points for that. So, with that being said, hopefully the start of this year has started out pretty good. We're getting some fights that we thought we wouldn't get, like the Andre Ward rematch. Nobody thought we would get it this fast. You know, even getting Thurman and Garcia in the ring, we didn't think we would get that. So slowly but surely, I think boxing is definitely going to come back around to getting a lot of big marquee matchups with guys in their prime.
Well, not, you know, let's talk about the rest of the month of April here. We do have some fights tonight, as a matter of fact, 6:30. I don't know, you got it. Maybe it's on tape delay for us out here. I'm not really sure. But we do have PBC on Fox tonight, which, you know, a lot of people have been criticizing that there's not enough bouts and that Al hasn't fulfilled his obligation and you know, so forth and so on. But when you look at this card, after you have two good fights, Josecito Lopez and Saul Corral, I'm not really sure about, but I'm pretty sure the Luna and I believe this is another one, one of the Ukrainians or Russians he's going to be fighting. When you look at this card, you know, there's actually no headliners, nobody that you would really think of. When you talk about, you know, guys that have possibly, you know, fought past their prime, it does seem to me, even though he does have a card on here, I'm kind of disappointed that there's no real marquee names on it. Do you think that perhaps there is a valid argument that, you know, the fights, some of the fights that Fox put on are just as watered down as some of the HBO matches, but PBC PBC just seems to take more flack when you have these type of bouts, especially when they're not up against anything else. What do you think about that, and what do you think about you know, having these bouts on Sunday afternoon, especially now when the only thing that you're going up against is basically baseball?
I mean, we had boxing on last week, during the week. Then we got some more on last night. There was fights throughout boxing and then across the pond. So today's Sunday. A lot of people are out on break, spring break and different things of that such. So, I mean, I'm not mad at, you know, what they put up for tonight. I mean, it's some action. I wouldn't be expecting some marquee matchups on a Sunday night anyway, you know, that would be more Saturday or maybe during the week. But Sunday, nah, I'm not looking forward to any big marquee matchups. But like I said, you're saying you don't know them, but until we watch, then we'll get to know them. They have to start from somewhere.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that has been the philosophy of our show. You know, that's why we have some of these young guys on the show that are all, you know, 8-0, 4-0, you know, because, like you said, you know, they have to get some exposure. They have to get it somewhere. These are going to be, you know, the young up-and-comers. We have boxing again here Friday, I believe, on Showtime. Of course, here in California, we got a bout in Ontario, coming out of Connecticut on HBO Latino. You got fights on Saturday. You got fights from Scotland coming on our TV. You know, and then the following week after that, we have another match coming, a set of bouts coming out of Verona, New York. So, you know, should people be complaining? You know, everybody's talking about boxing's dead and giving all kinds of excuses, but, you know, when you look at the month of April, you know, we have boxing almost every weekend. And a lot of them are young faces that we've never seen. They're young up-and-comers, and like you say, they need the exposure. So do you think that these ESPN fights, which we know are Golden Boy fighters, and you know, you got the PBC fighters, you got Golden Boy, do you think that this is going to help put up better numbers for the mega bouts, you know, when it's time? I mean, you know, like you said, you got the Canelo fight coming up. Everybody has been talking about numbers and how the numbers seem to be off. Do you think that these fights, you know, getting fans used to seeing so much coverage, do you think that this will help increase the numbers for the pay-per-views?
It can, because if you notice on some of the smaller telecasts, what was it, a couple weeks ago, they had a PBC card, and they had Andre Berto and Sean Porter on the panel. Or if you watch PBC, it's been plenty of times they have different boxers being the ringside analysts with a professional calling the fight, giving their intake on the fight, and then they go into their career, like a fight that they would want to make, or, you know, calling somebody out. So it gives them more exposure, and it gives the opportunity for more boxing news to be passed along also.
Yeah, I was glad to see Mr. Hurd on TV this weekend. Like you said, it gives you know, these young fighters some exposure. Since you mentioned it, I guess we might as well go ahead and talk about that too. It is what, about 2 weeks away, maybe, so a little over 2 weeks, the Sean Porter-Andre Berto fight. We haven't seen a lot of Andre Berto. We know, of course, you know, his pedigree and whatnot. We know, you know, Sean is looking to, you know, make sure that he makes a splash. I think he might be, you know, of course, he's looking for a rematch. Not sure that he's going to get one, but what do you think about that Sean Porter and Andre Berto fight for a WBC eliminator?
I think it's a great fight. I advise everyone to tune in. It's definitely going to be some action. You got two guys that just has, you know, the heart of steel. Like, they don't stop. They're not quitters. They don't give up. You never can count one of them out of a fight. And not only just for the fight, the card, we also have the Charlo, the younger Charlo, supposed to be in the co-main event, Jermell fighting Charles Hadley. And then we got also Mr. King Kong, Luis Ortiz, making his debut with PBC, and Mrs. Amanda Serrano also on the card. So everyone is getting a little bit of exposure, you know, the women. Now we're starting to see a lot more of them on these cards. There's always been women on cards, but far as televised cards, and I'm excited. And it's in my backyard. So definitely I should be trying to make it out to the press conference and possibly make it to the fight.
Yeah, as you said, you know, this is a very good card. It is on Showtime. Deshaun put on Andre Berto is part of the co-main event. Jermell, as you mentioned, Jermell Charlo is going to be fighting, defending his belt as a junior middleweight.
And that day, sorry to cut you off, that day is filled with boxing, even across the pond. We can't forget about Mr. Gabriel Rosado and Martin Murray headline on Sky Sports also that same day. And Tommy Flanagan also. So that's going to be on Box Nation. So that day is Oscar Valdez also. I mean, the list goes on. If you take a look at the calendar for April 22nd, it is booked. I mean, from, I say, 2 o'clock Eastern time in the afternoon all the way up until midnight. It's boxing all day.
Yeah, basically, I'm not sure where they're going to put that I'm hoping that the Rosado fight might be a part of one of those programs. As you mentioned, I mean, we also have a top-ranked pay-per-view. Oscar Valdez, Gilberto Ramirez, and Jesse Magdaleno is going to be fighting. But I guess the good thing about that is even though it's not, you know, a lot of what we consider, headline fighters. The thing about this pay-per-view is that it'll probably be relatively cheap, and it's out here in California, so I'm sure that they're going to pull some great not great numbers, but good numbers. You know how Bob is when he talks about his pay-per-view numbers. I'm certainly. What do you think? While we're talking about numbers, why do you think that the Terrence Crawford fight is pulling less than 200,000 pay-per-views?
The postal fight?
The card, the last pop. Remember, I think.
That's the last time he was pay per view. Number one, nobody know who Postal is. I mean, you got to also have somebody to dance with you. Nobody knew who he was. So he wasn't bringing in a lot of, you know, fans and numbers. And besides, pretty much in Nebraska, outside of Nebraska, and then the major markets, Texas, California, New York, Florida. Besides those markets, don't nobody really know who Terrence Crawford is also. So that's why. He wouldn't bring in a lot of pay-per-view numbers. Added on that a lot of people is streaming the fights also.
Do you think what do you think about Crawford's move to Madison Square Garden? Do you think that's going to get him more exposure, and maybe that's why Bob decided to move him to Madison Square Garden, because other than, like you said, Nebraska, that's where he puts up his numbers. So what do you think about Bob and Terrence's move to Madison Square Garden?
I think it's a great move. I mean, excuse me. New York is one of the biggest markets in the U.S., pretty much in the world when it comes to sports. So to get him a lot to get him a lot more exposure. New York fans are great fans. You know, they're going to let you know if you're good or if you're bad. So in his case, he's very good. I think they will receive him very well. And for this particular fight with Felix Diaz, which is Hispanic and has a Hispanic background, which, you know, New York City has a very large Hispanic following when it comes to the sport. And if I'm not mistaken, his fight isn't that far away from one of those holidays, either the Puerto Rican Day Parade or Cinco de Mayo. It's in the vicinity in that area. So, I mean, it'll be a lot of Hispanics in the area that will be traveling. And it's close to summertime when people go on vacation. So I think that was a very smart move. And you're getting a lot of tourists that come to New York and, you know, want things to do. So if you got a nice boxing match going on, hey, that'll be also another selling tool.
Just sticking with the month of April, of course, you know, at the end of the month, I know we're going to go back and talk about some of the other fights, but at the end of the month, April 29th, we once again are supposed to have the Anthony Joshua Klitschko match for Joshua's IBF and for the WBA heavyweight championship. Do you think that Vladimir has enough to put up with this devastating young man, Anthony Joshua?
I think he does. This fight is going to be very interesting because they both shared the ring with each other. Vladimir has the experience. Of course, Joshua has the youth. But it's going to all come down to, I feel like, it is more on Vladimir. When I say that, it's because in this Tyson Fury fight, he had a lot of personal things going on leading up to the fight. Then, number two, the last time he lost had been in over a decade. So the taste of defeat, and by him going through the same routines for all those years and pretty much haven't really been challenged too much, can be a wake-up call. You know, I've been watching video following him in camp, and he's looking great. He's looking in great shape, adding a couple of new wrinkles to his training. So I think this is going to be a very interesting fight. If he's patient and very robotic and just throws the jab, he has no chance of winning. But if he's aggressive coming out the gate, I think he can get Vladimir out of there within 5 to 7 rounds. Because the simple fact, Vladimir doesn't handle pressure very well. And Joshua has a pretty solid punch. And not only that, he's not just a headhunter. Joshua does go to the body, something that Vladimir is very not fond of, if you know anything about his history. So this is going to be a very interesting fight, man. I can't call a pick. Even the day before the fight or the day of the fight, I still won't be able to pick because I like both of the guys, and it just depends on which guy shows up.
Now, on that same card, we had the young lady that made her debut, I believe, on the last big card we had in Manchester. Mr. Katie, what is it, Kate?
Katie Taylor?
Yeah, Katie Taylor. She's also going to be part of that card. But you have a young lady named Adams that it seems like the promoter has taken under his belt. And she made her debut, I believe it was Saturday, might have been Friday. But the young lady, Nicola Adams, she's also coming up. She's a two-time Olympic gold medalist also. I guess my only knock on her right now is just the fact that these are probably the first times that she's been fighting without headgear, she said that she likes fighting without headgear. What do you think about Miss Adams, and or have you had a chance to watch her debut yet?
Oh, I didn't get the chance to see her debut.
This is another young lady. It seems like these young women are coming out with a much different attitude than we've seen in many years. These young ladies seem to be aggressive. They also know that they seem to realize that now they have a place in boxing other than people just considering them, I guess, fluff matches. Have we really started to adapt to women's boxing, or do you think that right now it's just strictly because of the rise of women in MMA that you also see a rise in women's boxing? Do you think that there's a correlation there between MMA and boxing, or do you think that boxing is holding its own?
Right now, no. I don't think boxing is holding its own. And from the MMA aspect, I'm not sure. Like, the crossover, I'm not sure about that, JK. Not yet. I will give it a couple of years. I mean, they're taking very, very small baby steps. They're just, it's just going to take a while to get more exposure.
Yeah. It's encouraging, though, when you see, them sharing the spotlight. I'm not sure exactly how the TV money works out, but any time that you're exposed on TV, I think it has to be it has to be wonders for your career. You see more people more people are watching. Even though you might look out there and see a full a packed house. You have to remember that there are millions more, that are sitting at home, usually watching these matches. I'm looking here. We see all the big fights that are seemingly coming out of New York. There seems to be no problem about the bigger matches. Like I said, this ESPN fight that's out of Verona, I'm sure the TV money is taking care of the insurance needs there. But New York fans, have you heard anything about the law stands and whether the promoters are actually going to be able to underwrite this new law?
Haven't heard a thing, JK.
You would think that would possibly be one of the things on the agenda that they would be pulling out all the stops when you consider the money. You spoke about Miss Amanda Serrano, even though she doesn't have an opponent yet. She does happen to have a name. Her and her sister have marketed them rather well, but I believe this is the first time that she's going to be on Showtime. What do you think the women have to do to make themselves more marketable? Especially, when you're talking about the New York area, where you have so many unknowns, the insurance, you're talking about the fan base is another, but there's a big Latino, as you mentioned, there's a big Latino fan base there. How important do you think it is for her to make a good showing, especially when she has a 10-round bout? How important do you think it is for her to make a good showing up there in your state?
It's very important, especially, she's trying to help pave the way for other women and herself. So definitely she has to have a great, outstanding performance.
You mentioned King Kong, that he was also going to be a part of this card. He's going to be fighting Derek Rose, Rossi. What do you know about Mr. Rossi?
That's the tall, light-skinned guy. Oh, he's a game fighter. He's not just some cab driver. Like, he got some heart, he got some pop, and he has a lot of fight in him. So he would definitely bring the fight to Mr. Ortiz. So as long as it lasts, it should be an exciting fight. I don't think it's going to be anything like what's the gentleman name that he fought that kept running around the ring, running around the guy that I think Emmanuel Stewart used to train. I can't remember the guy name. Luis Ortiz's opponent from last year that ran and ran around the ring, ran and ran. But anyway, I don't think it's going to be that type of fight. So we should get action.
What do you think about Mr. Ortiz, among that top tier heavyweights? Do you think that, other than his punch, he seems to be, one of those plodding guys. I would say almost in the way of George Foreman. He wants to get you in against the ropes and you know, land that left hook. He has a decent uppercut, but do you think that you know, in order for him to be successful, or you know, one of the renowned guys in the heavyweight division, do you think that he needs to perhaps change his style, or do you think that you know, he can be successful, you know, with the current style that he has when, you know, it comes up to, you know, some of, bam, it's hard to separate them now. I mean, you know, you used to have a middle tier and you know, top tier. Now it seems all you have is a top tier and a bottom tier. You're either good or not good. Do you think that, you know, when you look at Ortiz and the Dominic Brazils, guys that depend upon their power, do they really have a place in the top 10 when you know that they only have one particular style and you know, and it's really not that fan friendly?
Well, Lewis' style is friendly. He just needs somebody in front of him who want to fight. It was friendly when he was beating up Steve Cunningham. Because why? Well, Cunningham wants to fight. He's going to fight. So if you put an opponent in front of Ortiz who want to fight, he's going to fight.
Yeah, but see that, but you know, that's kind of unfair to Steve. You know, I mean, I love Steve. Steve has
how
more
is
heart.
That unfair, JK? How is that unfair? If you don't like it, beat him. Plain and simple. Same in football. They running up the score. Stop them.
Oh, boy. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, you know, Steve will fight light heavyweight, cruiserweight. Steve will fight anything. He fights guys, you know, I mean, that the one thing, you know, when he comes in there, he's not going to be running. Steve is going to fight. He's going to give you his all.
And that was an action fight, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
my
said,
whole
when,
point.
When you put somebody in front, like you said, that wants to fight, but, you know, in Steve's case, I think every fight that he takes, he has to fight because he's always the smaller guy, you know. But the one thing about Steve is that whenever you put a contract in front of him, the only thing he wants to do is grab a hand pen. But, you know, coming out, you know, he's another one of the Cuban fighters. Do you think that you know, when you think about you know, Rigondeaux and some of the other Cuban fighters, we don't really think of them as being you know, we think of them as being technicians and boxers and whatnot. I mean, he's no Filipino Stevenson. You know, I'm not going to try to put him in that category. But do you think that, you know, a lot of people don't give Ortiz the credit that he deserves because, you know, everybody has that stereotypical view of Cuban fighters?
No, I just think he needs to be more active, that's all. He had some promotional situations, and if he was more active and more visible for people to see him, he'll get respect.
Okay. Talking a little bit about the other fighter on that same card, Jermell Charlo, Charles Hatley. Have you noticed any difference in Jermell's style or even disposition since he's been out on his own and opened up his own gym and not under the tutelage of Ronnie Shields?
No, because it's not like he had a whole bunch of fights since he left. So I would need to see more evidence in front of my face. I need to see him more active, and then I can give a better assessment on it, which a couple weeks away we will find out.
Yeah, now that they've separated themselves, the brother is a middleweight now, and he's campaigning in that. Is he a middleweight or a super middleweight? I believe he's middleweight, right?
Middleweight, yeah. He's a middleweight.
Yeah, he moved up. So do you think that more fighters look at Jamel as being more vulnerable than Jamal because he doesn't bring the punching power that Jamal brings, but he's a better boxer?
I think some boxers do kind of take him for granted because he don't have his brother. But I think, like I said, the thing is, he has to get in there with higher opposition. You know, once he steps up his level of opponent, then we can assess and say, you know, good, yeah, he's good, or no, he's not as good. So definitely once he steps up in competition, we'll have a better assessment of that guy.
We also talk about Jamal, even though he's not on this card, but, you know, moving up to a middleweight, you know, this kind of puts him, deep water, as far as I'm concerned. What do you think about the, how much success do you think that the Jamal is going to have in that middleweight division, you know, seeing that he does bring the pot whipping, but there's when we talk about the middleweight division, we're talking about some top ranked guys there. What do you think? And who looking down the line, who do you think you'd really like to see him fight as a middleweight, you know, once he gains a little experience? I'm not talking about right out the gate, but, you know, maybe the end of this year, beginning of next year.
I mean, I'd like him to see him in there with the David Lemieux, the Triple G's, the Danny Jacobs, you know, the guys at the top of the division. The Canelos. But a lot of those fights won't happen because of politics. Because he's a slick boxer, athletic, and he has power. So him and Danny Jacobs within the next year, even though they're right now, the iron is hot, nobody want to fight them. Nobody's going to want to fight them. It's too dangerous of a fight. High risk, low reward. You know, they don't have a large fan base, you know. So I don't think we're going to see them in there with those matchups.
Yeah, I think he definitely has a kind of a hard road to hoe. Like you said, now that he doesn't have a belt, it might be a little, I don't want to say hard for him to get matchups, but there might be some more Passover money around that he could pick up. If nothing
oh, yeah,
else.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
But did you have a chance to take a look at the video footage of Tank Davis and Tevin Farmer getting into it last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear about that at all. I've been trying to work on a thing in Baltimore with Jake and him about perhaps honoring these young men that have made a name for themselves as far as the city is concerned. But kind of fill us in because I didn't get to it, and I don't know, you know, maybe some of our listeners didn't either.
Well, darn it. I was trying to play it so you can hear it, but it won't go through right at the same time. But basically, they had, especially Tank, had to be restrained by a bodyguard. They had to pull him. They, you know, Tevin Farmer and him was bumping chests, going back and forth. Tank was like, come see me when you get a belt, you know. So it was a very, very heated confrontation. And I'm glad that it's some fireworks in boxing, man. You know, it's not just the same old promoters talking. We actually got boxers, you know, going at each other. And I'm loving it, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen this week in between those camps. And then we have Lomachenko steady calling out Mikey Garcia, which after watching this fight against Sosa, I think Lomachenko better hush his mouth because he don't have enough power to beat Mikey. I was convinced of that last night after watching that fight. He don't have enough power to stop Mikey, so he better be quiet and get a big fight, unify the titles with Tank, maybe later this year or beginning of next year.
So you don't think he has enough pop?
Nope.
To beat Mikey?
Nope.
But you think he has enough pop to beat Tank?
Tank is at 130. Mikey Garcia is at 135, which basically he's holding on to 135. He's walking around at like 150, 155. Like, Mike is a big guy. You got to look at it. Lomachenko is what, 5'7", 5'8"? He's a little dude. Mikey Garcia is like 5'10", 5'11", with long, slinky arms. When Tank, he's a tank. He's a little short, stocky guy, which Lomachenko will have a better chance at because Tank is small and he has short arms.
But let's talk about the power, man. I mean, you know.
What about Tank's power?
I think Tank's power is comparable to Mikey's. And I'm thinking that, you know, if Tank does what, you know, like he did to get the title, and he can, you know, beat on Lomachenko's body, you know, I'm thinking, you know, that Tank has a good chance to give Lomachenko a good fight. Because, you know, like you said, you know, when you talk about the power, I don't think Lomachenko's fought anybody that's had the pop of a Tank or a Mikey Garcia. And especially Tank at 130, you know. But I don't see Lomachenko, you know, according to him, staying around at 130. And, you know, I don't think will get a chance to see him in Tank. I think Lomachenko's with his promoter, I'm thinking, you know, that he might see Mikey sometime by the end of the year. Because it,
well,
you know, because sometimes it's who you know rather than who you beat.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, with the way that they've been pushing Lomachenko using him as their cash cow, there's a much bigger reward for him to fight Mikey than there's going to be for him to fight Tank.
Most definitely.
Yeah. But do you think that Sosa's corner perhaps
too late?
The towel in. Yeah, that's all I was going to say. I mean, to me, it was kind of evident after, what, the fifth round, you know, that there really wasn't going to be any type of win here. And after that, to me, it was just like sparring to Lomachenko, even though, as you said, you know, it did kind of expose the fact that Lomachenko didn't have any power. Otherwise, you know, he would have got Sosa out of there and the corner wouldn't have had to throw the towel in. I kind of agree with you when you say, you know, that about the power side. But you do have to be impressed with the footwork and the hand speed of Lomachenko. Do you think that that's going to be able to carry him through, you know, those higher divisions, you know, even before he meets Mikey? There are some other guys in there that you know, in the 135 division that, you know, you might want to see him too. What do you think as far as that 135 division? Do you think that he would do better staying down there at 130?
Yeah, I think he better stay right where he at, man. I really do. He has talent, but they keep rushing him, and this guy can really get messed up. Really get messed up. Because the thing is, it's only one or two names there, you know. It's not like it's a whole division, people just lined up at 35 that, you know, just going to give them a good fight.
I'm just trying to think of where Lomachenko goes as far as, I mean, I don't think he can stay in between the two divisions, and he's going to have to make up his mind where he's going to be at. Do you see him, you know, you're having trouble, you know, with him being a three-time champion, because you don't believe in him necessarily. Where does Sosa go from here? He's shown the heart, I mean, you know, a lot of fighters, once they lose, we never hear from them again, or they're regarded as gatekeepers. Do you think Sosa did enough, you know, to keep himself in the talks of the 130-pound division, or do you think he's also going to be regulated the gatekeeper, even though Lomachenko's moving up.
Yeah, he'll be a gatekeeper. I mean, he landed 68 punches. Lomachenko landed more punches than Sosa threw. So,
well, I think that's the case in most of his fights, but once again, I kind of, you know, think that's more of the architect of the footwork that he has. He can stay in very close in the pocket with some of these guys, but I think he definitely overpowered Sosa. But if Lomachenko's, like I said, if he's moving up, and you got Tank and some other guys, ready and willing to take over that spot, do you think that there's going to be an eliminator and a unification of belts if Lomachenko does move up and gives up the belts that he has?
I'm not sure about that.
Would you like to see that, how would you want this to go with him moving up to 135?
I want him to fight Tank before he go to 35.
Well, hey, you know, I for one would like to see it, but I don't know if Tank's promoter can come up with that money, because Bob is Bob's his promoter, right?
Lomachenko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, come on, Bob's a shrewd businessman. So, you know, we'll see. Like I said, for me, thinking about Bob, I just think we'll see Lomachenko in there with Mikey before we see him in there with Tank. And speaking of Tank, Tank also, I believe, is it April or May? I mean, May or June that Tank has a fight?
It's May. It's in May. It's May the 20th. It's May the 20th. Yeah, I was right. May the 20th. On Showtime. Yep.
Okay.
Showtime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hold up. Wait a minute. How they have all this boxing on that day? Okay. They have Tank Davis on Showtime. Was probably going to re-air, because they also have Gary Russell Jr. on Showtime that day in Maryland. Then on HBO, they have Terrence Crawford, Felix Diaz, and the Beltran fight. What in the world?
Oh, yeah.
I hate
when
they
do that. What I'm thinking is that we're going to see a split. One of them will be shown live, and then the other one will be shown tape delay,
right,
for Showtime. Because Liam Walsh is definitely they're fighting in London, so they're definitely going to make sure that that's on international TV. Those are fights that we're definitely going to keep in touch with. We're going to have to get both of them on at the beginning of May. Yeah, most definitely. Is this Terrence Crawford going to be down the street from you, right? Barclays Center?
Nope. MSG.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be at Madison Square Garden. Most likely they will they'll put him in the ballroom where Triple G fights.
I just talked about that. Just said that they were going to make the Garden his home now. Talking about the end of April, the end of May. I think they've already set out to make 2017 a banner year. Are we still going to be hearing that same argument this year? You know, that boxing is dead and there's no more excitement in boxing. Are we still going to hear that? That same anthem this year, boxing's dead and there's nowhere for it to go now that there's no Floyd. Are we finally going to be able to hold heads up and show people that boxing is just as popular as it used to be? In fact, when you look at the money, we know it's a lot more lucrative. It's just not more lucrative for the fighters.
Well, that's all dependent on who you ask, because the people that say boxing are dead, I very seriously doubt that is a high percentage of diehard boxing fans to saying that. That's only casual boxing fans that are saying that. That the people that throw the fight parties and the barbecues for the pay-per-view fight, that's just my opinion. I think those are the people that say boxing is dead, are casual fans, because those are the people that like to get people together to congregate and have things. So if there's no big mega star out there like a Floyd Mayweather or Canelo or Oscar De La Hoya in his time, then they really have no one to root for, because those type of guys were superstars. You didn't have to go to a boxing website or something to find out something about them. You could easily turn on your TV to ESPN or the nightly news or a newspaper, and you're going to find some type of headline about those guys. But we don't have that in the sport currently, so the casual fans really have no one to really root for or to promote or propped up. Like, in the past, you know, it's going to take for another mega star to arise for that to happen.
Well, now, I agree with you in a lot of ways, but, you know, now we've had some of the so-called experts. I mean, you know, Dan Raphael, even Oscar and Bob, Jim Lampley, we've had a lot of guys that are so-called have their finger on the pulse of boxing that have been making these same assumptions, even though some of them are finally starting to come around. A lot of these guys that call themselves pulling out the discrepancy in PBC and you know, we're not having the mega fights in that anymore. Do you think that they finally come around and realize, you know, that there's still money to be made, you know, if, you know, they perhaps look at the long run instead of trying to, you know, go for the short gain?
No. All the people that you just listed, right, that you said were saying that boxing is dead or dying, you know, the Jim Lampleys, the, you know, the Oscar De La Hoyas, all those people. But guess what? All those people you name have what? An agenda. Lampley works for HBO. Oscar De La Hoya is a promoter. So they both have agendas. When we're talking boxing fans, you have the diehard fans, the people who follow the sport, who understand the sport, and know the ins and outs and the politics of boxing. So they're not going to be ignorant and come out in their mouth and be like, oh, boxing dead, because they know that's not the case. Now, a casual fan who doesn't have an agenda, they just support the sport of boxing or sports in general, who like to have a good time and congregate and get people together, you know, they're looking for events to promote. So it's like at the end of the day, they don't have an agenda. They're just going based off what they're getting and what they're receiving, the product. So that's why it's easy for them to say, oh, boxing is dead, because they have nothing to support basically at the time, because they're looking for that big mega fight or the barbershop talk fight that people are going to be talking about, like, oh, I can't wait for this. But right now we don't have that. Besides, like, we have the Chavez-Canelo fight coming up, which, you know, that's country pride. That's country pride right there. So and is going to be a holiday. So boxing's not dead. Boxing is far from dead. As long as the politics in boxing is there, you always have casual fans saying that it's dead. And the thing is, if you always gave the fans what they wanted, if they always got we always have these big marquee matchups, then it would never be any drama. It would never be any build-up, because guess what? They already know that it's going to happen. There leaves no suspense.
Yeah. Are you watching this Luna fight, man?
Nope. I've been running around all day, so in between words and convo, I'm trying to get my nutrition in.
Oh, okay. it's a pretty good fan friendly fight here. Luna, I mean, it's a lot of action. Not saying, you know, these are necessarily the marquee matchups like we're talking about, but for Sunday afternoon, you know, Fox Sports, you know, it's a pretty decent matchup. Of course, you know, Luna is the A side fighter right now. These last couple rounds, the B side guy has been holding his own. He might have pulled off the last two rounds. He certainly lost the first four, but it's a pretty good matchup. Speaking of matchups, we now see that the Manny Pacquiao has signed officially now. The fight is on. How much do you think Manny has left?
Oh, Manny has something left. Manny has something left in the tank. I just think, you know, they're just trying to cash out, man. They're just trying to cash out. That's all. It's set in his career, cash out, capitalize on the opportunity. But earlier today, I was watching footage on Jeff Horn, and he's a game fighter. Like, he's going to have a live dog in there. Not saying that this guy is going to beat Pacquiao, but this is not a guy that's just going in there to lay down and collect the check. I'm going to let you know that now.
Well, I mean, hey, you're beating, one of the guys that's a potential Hall of Famer. It has to be, for the opponent, he definitely has to be, looking to come in there and beat somebody like Manny. I will admit I haven't watched a lot of tape on Mr. Horn, but.
Yeah, when he beat Randall Bailey and his last foe was Ali Fanaika, which you can remember him back about maybe between 6 to 8 years ago. He was stepping on the scene in the lightweight division. I remember him having a good fight with Zaire, Raheem, and some of those guys in the division back then.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking of how many fighters that we seem to be having right now from Australia. That seems to be stepping up. These fighters from Australia, you're speaking of Mr. Horn, do you think that, people have kind of went to sleep on the Australians even though there's not as many of them to make the same claim as the Eastern Europeans, when you think of the guys, including Badu Jack and some of them, what do you think about these guys coming out of Australia right now?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure, JK. I'm not really been following the Australian fighters.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the Yao Ming situation. I'm not talking about as far as the numbers, but as far as the spirit, everyone in Australia is going to be, in front of their TVs. I wouldn't say a gold mine, but, at least a silver mine that they can, pull the money out of this year, or maybe, this year and next year. And, it'll go right back like it has been for the last decade or so. You'll never hear about them again. This is another one of those where, if it makes dollars, it makes sense. But it's not necessarily going to put a lot of seats in, butts in seats from America. You're going to have every Australian and every Filipino watching. So anything after that, to me, is just gravy. What do you think?
Most definitely. I 100% agree with you, JK. But are you purchasing that fight?
As soon as I can sell this dry land that I got out here in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, okay.
That's the first thing I'm gonna do with that money is make sure I get that fight.
Wow. Well, sounds like a plan.
Horn's promoter is saying, you know, that the fight is done, it's a signed deal. And of course, Top Rank is saying, I think we need a little bit more money. We're not quite getting enough. We have to squeeze that last piece of blood, that last pint of blood out of the turnip. It's getting down to the end here. Any predictions that you would like to make let me see, do we have anything big coming up? Even though we have fights, we don't really have anything big coming up next weekend.
Nope, it's just Ricky Burns back in.
Getting
back in the ring.
Like I said, the main thing is we still have boxing. It's free. Showtime shows, if you subscribe to Showtime and whatnot. Boxing is alive and well. So, Jabron, why don't you give everyone your final thoughts for the evening and, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, thanks for the listeners. Thank you, JK, for having me as always. Can't wait to get the champ and Scully back in here. Great week of boxing. Keep supporting boxing this week. We have free boxing once again, ESPN, Golden Boy Promotions, and also HBO Latino Sullivan Barrera will be fighting in Connecticut at Mohegan Sun versus Paul Parker. And you can find me on Facebook, Jabron Clemon, JABRANCLEMON. JK, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook in a couple places. Of course, the Pugilist Corner is our page on Facebook, and you can see Jabron there and all of the different faces that we have on. We are looking to have Layman and John back next week. They're out celebrating with their families. John is taking the family up to Foxwoods. Rather than interrupt on family outings, I just told him, we'll see them all next week. After all, family is the most important thing, especially in this business, because once you get off the top, it can be very lonely. So you can find me on Facebook at the Pugilist Corner. Under James King. You can also find me on Twitter under West Coast Steeler Fan, and we also have a sports crib. So anytime you want to find us on the internet, we are very easy to find. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to catch us Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner. I know we will be featuring Mr. Antonio Orozco. I'm trying to get a couple other officials in, a trainer, and perhaps a referee. So thank you, everyone, for listening to us, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week. Eat.